Let's all stand out of reverence for the word of God. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat, sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened, as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. And some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprung up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was on it, or when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprung up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Father, we pray that our ears and our hearts would be open, that we would walk away from not just reading this passage, but realizing that we are the crowd in this story, that today you desire to continue to speak into our lives, and you will use situations of everyday life to bring out spiritual meaning. And so I pray that today, again, as we are here, please help us to set aside any frustrations, any cares of this world, anything that is going on in our life right now. God, I pray that we could push it aside for now, hear your sweet voice speak to us, that we may walk out of here being encouraged, being built up, walking away with your truth and how to handle all of the things that we just pushed aside. So God, come and do what you do best. Help us see the beauty of who you are. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So as we get ready to jump into this passage, because I want to try and get all the way up to verse 20, and I know that some of you are thinking, "Ha! Good luck, Pastor Jerry," but I'm going to get there. I did it this morning, so it's on. I had a cup of coffee, half a burrito. I'm ready to roll, okay? And so we're going to pick up exactly in verse 1, and it says here that Jesus taught them by the sea. And because of our previous passage, we know that he was inside a house. So he's changed locations from being in the house, which was more likely Peter's home, out by the sea now. Now, even though there's no name mentioned for this sea, we can pretty much guarantee, or more than likely, it is the Sea of Galilee, because again, this is where Jesus' main ministry was taking place, around Capernaum. And so not only did a great multitude gather around him, but listen, with so many people coming and wanting to hear him, of course, Jesus took advantage of this crowd. And as they, you know, pressed toward him, he got into a boat. And there in verse 2, it says, he taught them many things by parables. So here we see Jesus staying true to his calling, and he continued to preach and teach about the kingdom of God. And I want to remind us, and maybe if you're new, you don't know this, but for those of you who have been tracking along with us, a parable is a familiar everyday life story that would come alongside a spiritual truth. All throughout this chapter and many other places in the Bible, Jesus will teach by using parables. These are, again, our familiar stories that people would have understood. And, you know, it reminds me of a time when serving out in the Philippines as a missionary, pastors would come, and as they had opportunities to teach, sometimes they would use illustrations that just did not connect with the family there in the Philippines. For example, they would talk about snow. Can't relate. Don't know what you're talking about, Pastor. But you start talking about farming, they're on point. They know what it's all about. And so this is Jesus' way of being able to reveal truth by telling familiar stories that everybody would understand. And this first parable we just read in verses 3 to 9, and again, it's a story of a farmer. And this farmer is one who sows seeds. Now, the three important parts or the three important elements of this story, number one is a sower. In some Bible translations, it may use the word farmer. Another element of this story is the seed that the sower sowed. The third element is soil. And as we read through this small portion of scripture, there are four different types of soil. The first one was wayside, the second, stony ground, the third in verse 5 is thorny ground, in verse 7, and then the fourth soil, the good soil, is in verse 8. And so the reality of this story, again, Jesus was using a very familiar everyday story that people would have understood. But the heart of the issue, the main spiritual part of it, is that out of the four different kinds of soil, there is literally only one that produced fruit. And this is the deep truth that he wanted this crowd to hear. And so we see that it was the good soil that produced this fruit. Now, we just read these first few verses. We're going to talk a little bit more about them. But after Jesus shared this first parable, it says that he told the crowd, "He who has ears, let him hear." Now, if you're like me, sometimes I talk to myself when I study, what is Jesus talking about? Okay? You don't have to say it exactly like that, but that's what I do. And so, what did Jesus mean by this? Well, the Lord knew that this crowd of people had mixed hearts. They were coming for different reasons. We've looked at some people coming just to be entertained. What is Jesus going to do today? We want to see a show. Heard he's been healing a lot of people. I want to see it for myself. Others were there because they had a dire need of being healed. And there was, of course, another group of people who just really wanted to know the truth. Last week, they were asking the question, could this really be the Messiah, the long-awaited Christ that we have been waiting for? The one that God promised to send. So with this huge crowd of people with mixed hearts, when he said these words, "He who has ear, let him hear," he was challenging them not to just listen with their ears. It would take much more for them to understand Jesus because they would need to use their ears, their heart, and their mind. If we really want to understand what the Lord is doing in our lives, some things will come easy, the truth will stick out to you, and other times you need to dig. And beloved, the deeper you get into God's word, the deeper that you seek, the more you will discover of God's amazing goodness and love. Let me put it to you this way. How many of you know what an abstract piece of art is? Yeah, so those of you who are laughing understand what I'm talking about. There's this blob of mess. And as you look at it, at first sight, you go, maybe one of my grandkids did this. But then the object or the purpose of these abstract drawings is you focus on a point of the picture. And when you just lock your eyes, somebody say you got to make your eyes cross-eyed in order to see it. But as you look enough at this main point, then everything kind of gets moving around. And nobody's on drugs when they do this, okay? It's an honest thing. Everything just kind of starts moving around. And then when you finally lock in and you keep intensely looking, there's an amazing image that will pop out at you. And beloved, that's what Jesus is basically saying. Don't just hear with your ears. I need you to hear with your heart. I need you to meditate. I need you to think about the story that you just heard and ask yourself this question, what is the deep truth of it? This is what he means by that. He who has an ear, let him hear. And I just want to be very transparent with you. This is my heart to all of you. That as you come, try and come to this place without having any distractions that are going to hinder you from hearing what God wants to say. Because the more you give of your heart to the Lord, I guarantee you, the more he's going to give you. The more he's going to want to speak into your life, and those things that he needs to share with you will become clear the more that you give him your heart, the more you tune in. And so this is what he means by that. And of course, it tells us that as soon as he was done sharing this parable, in verse 10, he told the crowd, you know, if you have ears, let's hear what, you know, hear what is being said. But then notice this, verse 10 to 13, let's pick up in reading there. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven. And then Jesus turns to his disciples and says to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? And so from this huge crowd of people down to just a few, they're in a private setting, and those who remained with Jesus asked him privately, what did you mean by this story? What is the meaning of this parable? And it seems very clear that they too didn't fully understand it. And I think that's true for a lot of us. I believe all of us at times, we can read God's word and we can spend time praying over it, but sometimes we can walk away going, what the heck did I just read? Like, how does this supposed to apply to my life? You know, it is so interesting because one thing for sure is that even though you may not understand it, in God's perfect timing, he'll reveal it to you. But the other thing that is important is it's okay to ask. Keep asking. Keep pouring out your heart and saying, Lord, I don't get it. I need a clearer understanding of this. Give me another picture. Lord willing, it's not an abstract one, right? Lord, just help me to understand. And here's what I love about the Lord is he doesn't get angry at you for asking. Now, for those of you who are young parents, for those of us who are grandparents, we totally get this. You remember when your kids were like about 2 or 3 years old? And the number one top list of words they know, why? Why? And how many of us give, like, don't you dare ask me why? I'll put you in timeout. I will put you in timeout. I don't care. We get frustrated. Why? But the honest truth, God doesn't get frustrated with us. Just ask. Continue to ask, and it's okay. If there's anything about God, you should turn to God and say, why? And I guarantee you, you can trust his answer. And so, Jesus now, in verse 11, answers their question. He's going to get ready to explain things. But he says, to you, for those of you who are sitting with me, it has been given, in other words, the blessing that is coming your way is that you will know the mystery of the kingdom of God. So in other words, what Jesus was laying out for them is that the blessing that you are going to receive is in God's perfect timing. He is going to reveal to you all of his promises regarding the kingdom of God. What it means to be in a right relationship with him. What it means that he redeemed man back into a right relationship with him. What does it mean to have everlasting life? And that all comes from us again as God has opened up our hearts and our minds and our eyes to see that what we're reading is truth and God's word he will keep and that anything he says will come to pass. And though we can't see it, we know in our hearts that it's real. And so the beauty that we have is Jesus tells the disciples, and he's telling us today, in God's perfect timing, you will be blessed. You will know all of these things. But to those who are on the outside, to those who are not looking for God, to those at this particular time who are rejecting God, he says to those groups of people, I teach them through parables. And the reason being is because Jesus is also fulfilling scripture here. He's fulfilling prophecy that Isaiah spoke of in chapter 6. For Isaiah himself, as he said, Lord, here am I, send me. And the Lord told him, I'm going to send you out and people are going to see the miracles you do. People are going to hear the words that you speak, but they're not going to believe. Why? Because of the hardness of their heart. And that's what Jesus was explaining. The reason why I'm teaching in these parables is because of a truth. Not only is it an everyday life experience, but even within this truth, some will just hear a story, and those are the ones with a hard heart. But those who are willing to dig deeper and think about and meditate and open up their heart to the story, then it becomes a window for you to see the beauty of who God is. And so Jesus basically said for those who have a hard heart are just going to hear a story. They're going to see me do miracles, and yet they're not going to believe, even though the scriptures say this is what the Messiah will do. Even though he would go out and heal the blind, cast out demons, heal the sick, do all of these things, have the authority to forgive sins, yet they would still not believe. Though they hear the words that Jesus is speaking and the power and the authority that he gives to explain the truth, yet they still won't believe. And he says all of this is because of the hardness of their heart. That's why I teach in parables. So now Jesus will go on and explain the parable to the group of disciples here with him. And now let's pick up in verse 14. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones who once sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. And the cares of this world, the deceit of the rich of riches, and the desires for other things enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So as Jesus is getting ready to explain to this group of people, and Lord willing for us today, it's so important that we understand the beauty that we have here, because every time that we get into the Word of God, every time that you hear God's Word, whether it's in a worship song, whether it's in a simple 3-minute podcast or a devotional, or if you are sitting in your home reading your Bible, God has a word for you. And the beauty of this parable is to help us dig deeper with what happens to that word. And the reality is Jesus explains this simple story of a farmer. Let's get some meaning to some of these words. But the sower refers to anyone. It's not just pastors. It's not just leaders in the church. evangelist, you know. Every one of us, as followers of Christ, should be a sower of God's word. The seed here in the story is exactly that, the word of God. And so anyone who takes the time, listen, to share the gospel, to share their faith, to share a testimony, to drop a Bible verse in the midst of a conversation is doing exactly what the story is. A sower went out to sow. And let's just be real. I think many times we as believers, listen, we try to put Jesus in everything, but listen, if you invite me over to your house and say, Pastor Jerry, I want to invite you to have some fellowship. We're going to be watching a UFC fight. Cool, bro. Thanks for the invite, but it's not fellowship. It's entertainment. Because me watching somebody punch somebody else in the face is not going to draw me closer to Jesus. You guys get my point? And the reality is that anybody who sows is one who is bringing Christ into a conversation, talking about Jesus, talking about answered prayer, talking about the goodness of God in your life, where you once were to what you are doing now for Jesus. You are being a sower. And here is a truth that I pray would leave you with some comfort, relieve you of any pressure, thinking, well, if I share my faith and they don't listen, then I'm going to be feeling like I'm a failure. Listen, remember what the scripture says, and I should have wrote this passage down. It's also in the book of Isaiah, but it says something along the lines of, oh, my mind just went blank. Something about when the word of God goes out, it never returns void. There it is. It was hidden in there somewhere. So that means every time that we bring Jesus into a conversation, beloved, do you realize we have the blessing of either planting a seed or watering one that's already been planted? That's the sower. That's you and me. And so I want you to hang on to that, because that takes away the pressure of ever feeling like you're a failure because nothing happened as you shared. Just remember, God is asking us just to sow the seed. He's the one that brings the growth. In verse 15, Jesus goes on to explain the different kinds of soils. The first soil here is the soil that is... Okay, you guys got scolded. Now this phone is going off. Bad pastor. Who would be calling me at this time, right? Hey, come on, don't they know what I'm doing? That's just messed up. It's probably somebody up there. Look at them. You guys are wrong. I got caller ID. I know who it is. You guys threw me off my groove, man. Where was I? Okay, verse 15. Jesus explaining about the different kinds of soils. And the other important truth that the Lord wants us to understand about the soil is it refers to people's hearts. And the first one is the wayside soil. This is the path, the trampled path, the path that is hard, impacted dirt, where it cannot receive any of the seed. And in our passage, it tells us that what keeps this soil, this particular wayside soil, from bearing fruit, there's two good reasons. Number one, because of the hardness of the dirt. And the second is the bird that steals away the seed. And so with these two issues, there's no way that the wayside soil will ever bear fruit. Now, because the soil is referring to a heart, this is a heart that is just flat out hard and hurt. It's a heart that's been trampled upon, crushed by whether people or life issues come crashing down on you. You know, the moment that I think about past, and I think about many of the people that I've come across, and as they share their stories with me, Some of those stories are just heartbreaking. Can't believe one right after another, whether it's accidents, whether it's a loss of job, whether it's a loss of family members. Listen, when those things come crashing down on you and people don't have Jesus, the number one response is normally they get mad at God. They're hurt and they harden their heart toward God. And so not only are they having a hard heart, but even if they hear the word, Jesus says that Satan is right there. He is described as this bird, comes and steals the seed away so that it never gives the heart a chance to believe in who God is. Let me give you an example from my own personal testimony. Remember, I went to church for all the wrong reasons. Instead of me hearing from the Word of God, what was I doing? Mad-dogging every guy who looked at my wife. Remember that? Distractions causing you not to hear the Word of God. Maybe somebody's at a concert or a crusade, and they're seeing a bunch of Christians raising their hands and praising the Lord, smiling at each other in the stadium, but then when they get in their cars and they're ready to leave, there ain't no Jesus in them. They're cutting each other off, and then all of a sudden, horns start going off, and there's road rage. 1 minute, they could hear the word of God, and something immediately happens, a phone call with bad news, an accident takes place. All of these things can come crashing down. And when that happens, not only do they get distracted, not only is their heart already hard, but they just tune out and don't even care about the Lord. In verse 16, Jesus goes on to explain the stony ground. This is soil that has very little and more rocks. This refers to a shallow part of soil. Underneath is nothing but hard rock. Everybody from Las Vegas knows this term, caliche. If you ever try to plant a plant in your yard, you may be able to get down 12 feet, but after that, forget it. You need some dynamite to get rid of that boulder. But one of the things that happens in this soil, in this particular heart, Jesus reveals that they're one who receives the word gladly, and they are immediately filled with joy. But what keeps this soil, what keeps this heart from bearing fruit? There's very little. It's shallow. Not only does it have a problem with not having enough room for the roots to grow deep, but it says here that the sun scorches it. As the sun's heat comes upon it, it withers and dies. I told you about the plant I almost killed. Forgot all about it. I'm not even going to think about putting it outside today. Because there's no depth, no place for the roots to grow, the sun hits it, the intense heat will kill it. And this refers to a heart that is, again, in the beginning, good with Jesus, excited about hearing about their sins being forgiven, excited about the ability to know that from this point on, we can get help. We can have a promise that God will never go back on his word, that we literally have a place in heaven reserved for us. So we're excited about those things. But then when the heat comes from the difficulties of life, when the troubles come crashing upon us, when the persecution comes, oh, there goes that Jesus freak. Oh, you know, he goes to that church over there on the other side of town. And all of these things, the pressure, the mocking. You see, when those things come around, when they're made fun of because of their faith, this heart allows what they see and what they hear to cripple them from moving forward with Jesus. And the moment that happens, they stop giving Jesus their heart. What may have started off strong ended, and their heart turned away from God. Jesus goes on to explain the thorny soil. This is the soil that is mixed, that is infested with thorns, weeds, rocks. And this is what keeps the soil from bearing fruit. All of these other things choke out the good seed. And this is referring to a heart that is still filled, according to what Jesus says, is filled with the cares of this world. In other words, Jesus doesn't have their whole heart. That there's other things in their heart that are competing with the Lord. And can I tell you this, that if you allow the cares of this world to have more of your heart than Jesus, you are missing out. And not only are you missing out, but here's the truth. Material things that promise you happiness, here is the truth. It's temporary. It is temporary. When you think of the things that God desires and you compare it to the things of this world, Lord willing, you're going to see that that stuff doesn't matter anymore. You know, I'm blessed. And I want to say this carefully because I don't want anybody to misunderstand me or feel like I'm pointing out anybody. I'm telling you my heart about the blessing that I have in my wife. And I'm thankful, but I know that it would also be nice to hook her up every now and then. And her hookup is this. Don't buy me no flowers. Don't go out and buy me expensive earrings. Don't go out and buy me a big old bling ring. I don't need that stuff. She would rather say something along the lines of, save that money and let's go away somewhere together. That's right. I'm a lucky man. My wife will be just as thrilled with a candlelight dinner on my patio compared to going over to Cliffside and spending $200 on a dinner. My wife will be content with just going for a walk up in Pine Valley. I don't know about Hawaii. Maybe Hawaii will win, but you know what? It's not like some of the other expenses. She's not asking me to take her to Dubai. I'm a blessed man. And those things are amazing, but I can tell you honestly that that's not even on the top of her list. You know what is? On Monday morning, on my day off, when we sit down together and open up our Bibles, that blesses her beyond those other things. When my wife and I sit down to pray together, that brings her joy. Far greater than any diamond ring, far greater than any of those other things, because our hearts together that become one are now seeking after God. I'm a blessed man. The stuff in this world, keeping up with the Joneses, the things that are before you, again, cannot compare to the beauty of what God desires to give us in this amazing gift called eternal life. As I was studying this passage, what came to my mind was the rich young ruler who came to Jesus. And as he approached the Lord, what must I do to enter into the kingdom of God? And Jesus told them, you know the law. And he had the boldness to say, well, I've done it all. I've obeyed the law. Like Jesus could have said, really? But then, because Jesus could see within his heart, he told them this. Okay, you've obeyed the law, you've kept it. Here's what I want you to do. Go home and sell all of your possessions. Give them to the poor. And then come and follow me. And it says in the passage that he heard the words, but walked away sorrowful. Why? Because he had many possessions. Listen, I'm going to be truthful with you, okay? I'm not here to knock anybody who has it. Praise the Lord. You have a house, you have a boat, you have a car. Like I said, hook a brother up. Take me out. I'll help you with gas. You know, I'm not expecting it for free, but, you know, help a brother out every now and then. There's nothing wrong with having stuff. Please understand that. You've been a good steward of God's money, and you can afford those things without it tapping into your savings and breaking your bank and having to work 60 hours to afford it. God bless you. Go for it. But when that stuff becomes more to you than Jesus, there's the problem. And this heart is one that's being choked out by those things. Oh, man, did you see so-and-so's new Escalade? Oh, man, I better go get one. Oh, man, did you see the shoes that girl was wearing? I look better in them. All of those things can choke out what God really wants to do in your life. Jesus went on in verse 20 to explain the good ground, the good soil. This is the soil that received the word and bore fruit. This is the heart that receives the word of God, who trusts in God and lives for God. He's living out the very words that God is teaching him. Beloved, this is the heart that bears fruit. And none of us in this place can ever expect to know the heart of God if your heart is not open to God. If you're not willing to dig into the Word of God yourself, when you read through God's Word and treat it more than you do your newspaper, because the Bible says in order for you to seek God, in order for you to find Him, you have to seek Him. And that's only going to happen when you yourself do it more than just on a Sunday morning. When you do it more than on a Wednesday night. I want to challenge you that if you're not getting into the Word on a daily basis, how do you expect to grow? How do you expect to know the Word of God? How do you expect to know the things that He loves and the things that He hates? And so the truth, the spiritual truth that Jesus just explained to this group and He's explaining to us, is that the heart that receives and believes and lives out, the natural result will be is you will bear some 30, some 60, some hundredfold. Your life will radically change. The appetites that you had for this world will fade away, and you'll begin to have more of an appetite for the things of the Lord. You know, it was so funny when a couple of weeks ago, when I went to go see my mom, we were having this conversation on the table, and my mom was listening. And we were talking about us as kids. And I was sharing some stories about me, and I remember, you know, those different phases that you have when you're a kid trying to figure out what you want to be. And I remember, I went everything from a professional breakdancer to a DJ to, you know, whatever. Y'all laugh, but it's serious. I knew how to cut it up. But the truth is, those were my desires then. But now, it's completely different. I don't find myself reaching for turntables. I reach for a guitar. And the songs that I'm singing have nothing to do with the things of this world. It's singing about who my God is. That's what Jesus will do when you give him your heart. Transformation takes place. And that transformation is what we want to experience, because the closer you are to Jesus, the more fruit you're going to bear. The more of an appetite for his kingdom be done instead of ours. And so this is the result. Any heart that is willing to be given wholly to the Lord naturally will bear fruit. And again, the progression of some 30, some 60, to some 100. And I want you to know, if you have a desire to be a great giant for the Lord, it first starts off with being like David, a little boy watching his father's sheep, spending time gazing at the stars to know who his God is. All of us will grow at different pace when it comes to our walk with the Lord. But here's our takeaway this morning from our study. I don't want us to leave walking out of this place wondering what kind of heart you have. But I would rather you walk away with asking this question: is there anything hindering you or me from growing today? Some of you, if you feel that it's Satan, you know, I think all of us have come to understand and know that just because we're a believer, Satan doesn't stop messing with you. As a matter of fact, he seems to be messing with you more. One of the things that I pray you would see and understand and know that he works by blinding the eyes who don't know. He keeps those away. Remember that bird who swiftly comes in and steals the seed as soon as it's being tossed, as soon as it's being sown. The distractions come, pulling people away. But even for those who are believers, he still comes. And what is his greatest desire? To cause you to doubt, to discourage you, to get you to take your eyes off of the Lord. And then he plants lies to you. And whenever he comes around, this is my prayer, that you would hold on to this portion of scripture, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Why don't we turn there together so you could read it along with me? 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. As Satan comes around and he wants to lie to you, or remind you of your past. And I think all of us know this. He's really good at reminding us of our failures, isn't he? Isn't it amazing how, again, no matter where you're at, he loves to bring up things that you failed in. And I think I've shared this with you plenty of times, but the challenging thing for me and when I sense him messing with me the most is from that walk from there to here. You didn't study enough. Who are you to be teaching this crowd of people? And all of the negative things. Do you remember how you failed the other day? You remember how what you were thinking was said out loud and somebody else heard it? Those kind of things that he loves to remind me of my failures. And so when he comes around, this is what we need to hold on to from the Word of God. You are of God, a little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in this world. So whenever he comes around and messes with you, this may sound a little corny, but remember who your daddy is. It's God. God is far greater than him. So not only do I want you to hang on to this Bible verse, but I also want you to say this prayer. Say something along the lines of this: Lord, help me today not to believe the lies of the enemy, to remember that you have forgiven me of all of my sins, that I am a child of God. You have already defeated him, so help me today to stand in that truth and remove whatever he has said out of my heart and out of my mind. That's the kind of prayer we need to pray. That's what we need to do in order to keep our heart from being distracted, discouraged, pulled away. Don't believe the lies of the one who is known as the father of lies. Maybe some of you today here feel it's those faith-shaking troubles, the persecution that is upon you, that is hindering you from growing. And if this is you, what Bible verse do I want you to hang on to? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Notice what this says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We can actually begin in verse 16 through 18. Notice what this says. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For in our light affliction, which is but for a what? Moment. Say that together. Moment. Now listen, is working for us a far more exceedingly and internal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So even though the difficulties come, even though the persecution comes, Jesus already told us, if we're going to follow him, the world's going to hate us because they hated him first. Jesus already told us it is coming. You make a stand for Jesus, you will have enemies. They will rise up against you. But Jesus' encouragement and my encouragement to you today is this: it's temporary compared to what is eternal. Because when Jesus comes for us and we go home, never, ever, 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 let me say it again, ever, will we need to worry about those troubles again. If some of you feel that stuff, the earthly treasures, is what's hindering you from growing in your faith, growing in your relationship, Proverbs chapter 23, verses 4 and 5, you can go ahead and turn there as well. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 4 and 5 say this: do not overwork to be rich. Because of your own understanding, cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. What is the proverb telling us? Again, please understand, keep it in context. Don't strive to be rich. There's nothing wrong with being a good steward and saving up and having 6 months worth of expenses in a savings account for emergencies. That's being a good steward. That's being wise. But when all you think about is money, when all you think about is how to make the money, when all you think about is how to have the bigger boat, and when you get it, you have to work instead of 40 hours, 80 hours to afford it, you're missing it. You are missing the joy that can come to you. And working for those things, becoming a slave to them, is not what God desires. There is no earthly treasure, because the faster you get rich, the faster it flies away. You know, I'll never forget when I first moved to Vegas, working at the Stratosphere before it opened up. We were working 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, getting paid weekly. And on Friday morning, or Friday, I should say Friday evening, when we all got our paychecks, we have to show up the next day. Now, I'm not going to tell you how much I took home, but it was a few thousand. And it amazed me how on Saturday morning people were asking, who got the same amount of money as me, can I borrow $20? You just got paid. I was this close. Just this close. Man, and I almost had it. I almost had it. Okay, I'll give you a sandwich, but I ain't giving you $20. I'll share my lunch with you, but I ain't giving you $20. Anything that is of this earth is temporary. And the bumper sticker is a lie. He who has the most toys wins. Because the truth of the matter is, when you die, all of your toys go to somebody else. Beloved, I pray that these are the things that we would walk away from today, asking and questioning, that we would be like David and give our hearts to the Lord and say, Lord, search me and know my heart. Is there anything in my heart that is evil? And if so, remove it. But lead me in the way of everlasting. Beloved, we do this and we don't budge when Satan comes around. And we don't fall when trouble comes. And when the world lies to us and tells us that we need stuff, that we would be able to say the same thing that Jesus said to Peter, get ye behind me, Satan. I don't need you. We do that. And I guarantee you that is a heart that will bear fruit. And I hope and pray, as Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for this time. And I want to thank you for your word once again. And I pray that as we continue to study through this gospel, that we would see more and more of the beauty that we have available to us every day. And so I thank you for my brothers and sisters, for my family that's here this morning, and asking God that you would fill them afresh with your Holy Spirit. That as they seek after you, Lord, they would find you. And they would not just listen with their ears, but their heart and their mind would be included. And they would ponder and continue to ask, Lord, for you to reveal the truth that you want us all to learn. And so, God, do that for us this morning. Maybe you're here this morning visiting us, and maybe you're also a person who's never given their heart to the Lord. I just want to take a few minutes of your time and invite you to be like the soil that we read about. Not the wayside, not the stony, not the thorny, but the good soil, the good heart that would be willing to receive God's word today. That you would be willing to receive the truth of who God is and to know that God loves you. And God loves you so much that he has a desire to spend eternity with you. That he would reserve a place for you in heaven, but in order for you to receive this gift, we all need to deal with sin. The Bible says that when we confess our sins before God, understanding and knowing that we've done things against God's word, that God is not only able to forgive us of those sins, but to bring us back into a right relationship with him, because sin is what separates us from him. It separates us from receiving this amazing gift. And so when we believe in Jesus' death and his resurrection, and the Bible tells us that Jesus is the one who paid for the sins of the world. That includes your sin, my sins, everybody's sin. That through his death on the cross, now the door has been opened for us to receive forgiveness and peace with God. It's not nothing you have to do, because Jesus has done it all. But what's important is that we believe it with all of our heart. And as we believe it, and as we confess it with our mouth, God's promise is you will be saved from that penalty of being eternally separated from him. And if this is you this morning, if God has been ministering to your heart throughout this study, I pray that you would know once again that he loves you and he desires for you to be a part of his family. And so if this is you, right where you're at, I want to encourage you, just slip up your hand, and it would be an honor to pray for you. Praise the Lord. I see your hand off to my right. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. I see your hand here in the center. Up here in the front. Praise the Lord. Any more? Praise the Lord. I see your hand toward the back of my left. Beloved church, this is the moment that we are seeing miracles happen. That God, through his word, is touching lives. And lives are responding. That they're not only hearing with their ears, but they're hearing with their hearts. And God is drawing them closer to him. This is an amazing miracle. One more minute. Anyone else? I don't want to rush this moment. If God is ministering and God is moving, praise the Lord, I see your hand toward the back. Lord, I want to thank you so much for the hands that were raised. You can put them down now. And I want to ask, Lord, today that as a room this big, you know every heart, and maybe there were some in here that wanted to raise their hand yet didn't. I just want to encourage you with this. You still can receive the Lord. It's not the hand that saves you, it's your heart. So you can still repeat this prayer with us. Anyone, if you are sincere and wanting to get your heart right with God, I want to invite you now. Repeat this prayer with me. Dear God, I thank you for sending Jesus to the cross. For I've learned today that he died for the sins of the world. So, Lord, I come before you and I confess that I've sinned against you. Would you please forgive me? For I believe in Jesus' death and his resurrection. I believe by faith that through his death and resurrection, my sins are forgiven, and I'm at peace with you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and for saving me. God, would you please come into my life and help me from this day forward to live for you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.